Good morning, and a very warm welcome to morning worship here at Water Lane. I'd like to extend a particularly warm welcome to anybody joining us for the first time, or any visitors that we have today. And of course, we remember to our friends who are listening via the recording. But please do join us for a coffee after the service, and for those with children, we've got some activity boxes at the back of the church. Only one notice to make you aware of today. A class is being run at Bramall Methodist Church, which is described as a life skills class for Christians, which should help with well-being and resilience. There's quite a blurb here, not all of which I've committed to memory, so come and see me afterwards if you think that's the kind of thing that you think might be of interest. It starts, there's a like an induction class Wednesday evening, 12th of September, and then there are subsequent 8 weekly courses at the same time. So that's a kind of life skills class for Christians, focusing on well-being and resilience. I said it twice because I only had the one, I had to bulk it up a bit. So all that leaves me to do is to welcome back from holiday our own minister, Reverend Katie Thomas, to lead our service today after an intro from the choir. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Let's just spend a time to be quiet, a time to just listen to our own breathing, a time to welcome God into our midst. Gracious God, we thank you that we can gather in your presence as your family in this place. Open our hearts to receive your love. Open our minds to receive your wisdom. May you accept our worship and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen. We sing, "All I once held dear, knowing you, there is no greater thing."
Oh,
Creator God, we thank you for this wonderful world, this fascinating universe, with so much to explore and learn about. We thank you for all those who study and research and have unlocked for us the origins and development of life. And we thank you that you have given us minds with which to think, inquire and learn. As we grow and learn and marvel at all that you have created, may we also remember that true wisdom is reflected in how we live in harmony with you and all that you have created. Lord God, you call us to a distinctive relationship, a way of life that includes a quality of love and a willingness to serve, that shows itself in everything we do and say. As we seek to live with true wisdom, forgive us where we fall short, where we have lacked courage and followed the crowd. Help us to keep focusing on your grace, your love and goodness, to be open to your presence deep within our lives, so that we might be filled with your love and live in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder who the wisest person is that you know. The wisest person. You know, the wisest person isn't always the cleverest person. It's not the person who's got the most qualifications, but somebody who can give some good guidance. I love this story called The Three Sieves. Janice came rushing into her grandma's house. Gran, there's something I've got to tell you. Wait a moment, her grandma broke in with a wise smile. Whatever it is that you wanted to tell me, have you shaken it through the three sieves? Three sieves? Janice asked, amazed. Yes, my love, three sieves. Let's see whether your story will go through the three sieves. The first sieve is the truth. Have you thought about whether what you're going to tell me is true? Well, hesitated Janice. I heard it from somebody else, so I'm not quite sure. Right, said Graham. Well, that's an honest answer. So let's try it through the second sieve. This is the sieve of goodness. Since what you're going to tell me is not necessarily true, then is it at least something good? Janice lowered her eyes. Well, no, she admitted, not really, in fact, quite the opposite. Well, the wise grandma continued, let's use the third sieve and see whether what you're going to tell me, even if neither true or good, is at least necessary. Well, not exactly necessary. Janice sank into a thoughtful silence. So, Gran said, giving Janice an understanding hug, since what you were going to tell me is neither true, nor good, nor necessary, I suggest that we bury it deep in the ground of forgetfulness, where it won't cause any heartache to anyone ever again. Little snippets of wisdom from wise people make a difference, don't they, to how we live. That's the part of the theme of our service today. Just to say that for any young people, there are some activities in a box at a back. I have no idea what's in there. It's a mystery box. But we don't have our normal Sunday kids during August. But if you like, there's some activities at the back. Going to share now in a psalm of praise, a psalm which reminds us that the fear of God, the awe perhaps might be a word most helpful to us now, is the start of wisdom. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honour and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Amen. We sing, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise."
The reading is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 to 14. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept him, and you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on this throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I will give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. Amen.
Solomon, the son of King David, became revered as a king known for wisdom, for worship, and wealth. We hear in chapter 4 of the first book of Kings that he wrote 3,000 proverbs, and people came from all nations to hear his wisdom. He built the first temple in Jerusalem, creating a physical focus for worship. And the nation of Israel prospered under his rule. Our passage focuses on the start of his kingship following the death of his father David. Worship is the point from which his wisdom grows, echoing the psalms of his father that fear that awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. During one of his many acts of worship, sacrificing to God, he has a vision in which God asks, ask what I should give you. It's quite a question, isn't it? What should I give you? I wonder how you would answer. I wonder how your answer may have changed over the years. Solomon's answer is a reflection of his wisdom to come. He's faithful. He's wanting to follow in his father's footsteps, both in terms of devotion and leadership. And he knows that he can't do it in his own strength. In face of the large population around him, he feels but a child. I wonder if you've had that feeling, perhaps at the start of a new job, where you thought, how on earth did I blag myself into this role? How on earth am I suddenly here? And oh, help, feeling just so small and insecure. It might be even not working, but you know, now you're the person in your family who everybody looks to as the point of wisdom and for leadership and guidance. And sometimes you feel just but a child. Solomon's answer echoes the beatitude that blessed are the meek, blessed who recognize their need for God. Solomon asks, give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, wisdom and knowledge to lead. It's a good choice of things to ask for. You know, most of us think that we know the difference between good and bad. But I was reminded of Richard Rohr's Lenten comment on temptation, saying that we can only be tempted to do something that is good, at least on some level, otherwise we wouldn't be tempted. This is what he says, and perhaps we might see that on the screen. Richard Rohr says that most people's daily ethical choices are not between total good and total evil, but between various shades of good. A partial good that's wrongly perceived as an absolute good, because it's useful to us, or even evil that disguises itself as good. These, he says, are what get us into trouble. It's really easy, isn't it, to look back on history and see how people have taken really bad decisions, even though they thought they were good. And perhaps there are even more innumerable examples of today, looking at things people do and the choices that they make, thinking that they're good, when perhaps they really aren't. They just seem good to the ego or good to their personal wants and desires. In his book, Being Disciples, Rowan Williams talks about the need for spiritual awareness with regard to the scrutiny of our deepest motives. We hear in this second quote, Bill, if we can have on the screen. Rowan Williams asks, am I capable of looking at how I'm thinking and feeling with a bit of distance, a little coolness? Am I capable of taking my intense feelings, positive and negative, out of the depths of my guts for a moment and putting them where I can look at them? And more importantly, where Christ can look at them. Rowan Williams describes this as a practice of the early church called the practice of dispassion. It's about discernment and asking and seeking God's will in our everyday decisions, making that choice to pause, to take a step back, to ask for God's wisdom, to see the right way forward. Part of wisdom is practiced in daily life as we seek to discover God's will for us and our community. Solomon is so commended for his lack of selfishness in what he asks that he's rewarded by receiving wisdom as well as all that he didn't ask for but could have done. His wise request is a challenge to us. Solomon didn't always get it right, though. Those of us who have been following the Bible Society Bible study course might remember the point in which, towards the end of his life, the way Solomon was treating the workers who built his palace, who built the temple, overtaxing them, caused them at the end of his life to revolt, and it split the kingdom into two. Perhaps as time went on and things seemed easy and power grew, he stopped seeking God's guidance. It can happen all too easily, can't it? When things actually seem fine and we're now in control and we no longer feel daunted by perhaps a new job or what lies ahead of us. Have we stopped asking for direction each day? Have we stopped depending on God in prayer for the wisdom we need for our daily lives? How do we continue to answer the question put to Solomon by God, ask what I should give you? There will be things that we need to ask for ourselves. It's only natural. But hopefully our focus will also be like Solomon's initial prayer, asking for wisdom for the welfare of the whole community. We're going to sing the hymn, Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed. The words say, Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. our reading, the letter from the letter to the Ephesians.
And reading from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Paul urges the Ephesians and those first Christians to be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So what does it mean to live as wise people, especially in difficult times? Just going to share a few responses today from different readers. First, we're going to see is a quote again from Richard Rohr about living in the present moment. He says, I suggest that wise people are those who are free to be truly present to what is right in front of them. Of all the things I have learned and taught over the years, I can think of nothing that could be of more help to you than living in the now. It is truly time-tested wisdom. He says that ruminating on the past and worrying about the future occupies so much of our minds that we lose the ability to truly experience joy in life. He says that when Jesus talks about the future, he tells us not to worry about it. And when he talks about the past, he does so in terms of forgiving it, handing the past over to the mercy and loving action of God. He says we do not need to keep replaying the past, atoning for it and agonizing over it. Richard Rohr is a Franciscan monk, practices Christian meditation focused on heart, mind and body as an ancient practice, an ancient Christian practice, to stop our minds from running backwards and forwards and instead focus on the divine energy of God flowing through us now. It's the essence of the mindfulness and Christian spirituality that Chris and I are running and many have been participating on. Interestingly, the course that Tim mentioned in the notices, one being run at Bramall and offered to the whole circuit, is about living life to the full and living now. It's a very new course that was initially put together by cognitive behavioural therapists. But being a group that who happened to all be Christian, they realised that there was so much involved in what they were teaching that was at the heart of their faith. And they redesigned the course again for Christians, encouraging us to look, pause, and consider the choices that we make in the present moment. Good choices that Paul is asking us to reflect on in our behaviour and how we live so that they reflect God's light and goodness and also that are good for us. Living the present moment isn't about ignoring the future, but about spending time in the stillness of God's presence so that we can step back from the chaos and pray for wisdom in how we plan for the future. To receive the presence of Jesus so that we might have the grace to respond to the difficulties we see in the culture around us. And have the courage to live by grace and live with forgiveness. Jean-Pierre de Caussade calls it the sacrament of the present moment. Another writer, Cynthia Bourgelot, talks about living as wise people involves putting on the mind of Christ. She said for about 1600 years, the church focused on having the correct beliefs and creeds, perhaps above living the wisdom of Christ in our everyday hearts and lives. She points out that Jesus wasn't a priest or a prophet in the traditional sense, but more like a wisdom teacher, as well, of course, as being the Son of God. And for Cynthia, wisdom is about asking these questions. How do we put on the mind of Christ? How do we begin to see through Jesus' eyes? How do we feel through Jesus' heart? How do we respond to the world with the same wholeness and healing love of Christ? I need to buy a book to find all her answers to those questions. But surely it's about praying and studying God's word, discerning together as a Christian community how we can see our community through Jesus' eyes, how we can respond to others and meet needs through Jesus' heart of compassion and grace. The Ephesians passage is about making choices in how we live, reflecting light, but it's not about being perfect. So about a year ago, I asked a study group at Style who for them was the wisest person that they knew. And as we went round the room, the answer was Betty, 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 Betty. Betty wasn't there at that meeting. She wasn't well enough to be there. And, you know, when I went and I met Betty and I spoke to her about it, she paused for a while and there was silence. And then she said, "Well, I've lived long enough to make all the mistakes and I've learned from them." And when we celebrated her life about 6 months ago, it was celebrating the wisdom that she gained through her faith, her heart of compassion and grace and forgiveness. Writers or strange names say that wisdom is the fruit of observation and reflection. They say that our attitude regarding our suffering determines whether we'll be enriched by it or depleted by it. A phrase that somebody often used in one of my last churches was, "Let this polish me, not demolish me." We would never want suffering to come, but through it we can ask that God will help to strengthen us, to learn from it, and perhaps help others through our own experience. Part of my summer holiday reading was reading the memoirs of Michael J. Fox. Some of you will remember a star of the, you know, Back to the Future trilogy of films. He, at the age of 30, was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And his book is remarkable, really, because it's about realizing that his illness, whilst he would never have wanted it, and if he could have avoided it, he would have. But it was for him almost a gift that helped him to put his life back in perspective. And he writes so positively about the experiences that have come because of it. One of the final aspects of wisdom within this passage is to give thanks to God at all times through all things. Now that really might not seem an easy task, especially if for you life is incredibly tough at this moment. But the daily practice of gratitude, the daily practice of thanksgiving, truly is wisdom, because it helps us to identify blessings, even if they just seem tiny to us. Blessings and grace and gift that will strengthen us and support us through the difficult times. That practice of gratitude helps us to see grace and thereby gives us strength and hope. That particular passage to the Ephesians ends by encouraging us to keep singing, singing praise, singing through the Psalms, singing hymns of thanksgiving to God. We're going to remain seated as we hear, and if you'd like to join in, a song by Matt Redman, Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
Holy name, sing my name.
Going to hear our reading now from John's Gospel.
Our third reading is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. Starting to read at verse 51, and is set as Jesus is teaching at the synagogue in Capernaum. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." Amen.
It's really not a very easy passage, is it? It wasn't in Jesus' day, and it caused real controversy. The last thing a Jew could do was drink blood, so what was it all about? Some think Jesus was making a clear link to the words of King David. He'd refused to drink water that friends had risked their lives to bring him from Bethlehem during a time of war, because it would have been like drinking their blood. It would have, taking advantage of their sacrifice. Jesus is talking about the sacrifice that he is making for them. But more simply, the early church interpreted these words as being about the sacrament of communion. Eating and drinking were the epitome of intimacy and union. And here the offering is of Jesus' own self-giving. If we can get beyond the flesh and blood symbolism of this passage, it isn't easy for us. We hear Jesus' wisdom that the most important gift that we can receive is the gift of his very self, an invitation to receive the nature, presence, and spirit of Jesus, and life that would bring healing and quench spiritual thirst and hunger, an invitation to fullness of life. The writer Orr describes wisdom as not only living in harmony with God and others, but in this quote, the last quote, Bill, about accepting the invitation to dwell ever more deeply in the very mystery of God, present to us at the heart of reality, now manifest, now hidden, ever present but elusive, sustaining not only our individual lives, but the entire cosmos. I can't say that I fully understand these words of Jesus in this text, but I do know that when we draw near to Jesus in the act of communion, in our prayers and in meditation, when we pray as we seek each day to serve, love, and challenge injustice, We are fed, nourished, nurtured and sustained in ways that we cannot even begin to describe or understand. We are invited to draw near with faith, with open hearts, and receive the gift of life, life eternal, to receive healing love and intimate union. To do so, now that is wisdom. Amen. Come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. All-knowing God, we pray for all who have authority and influence over others, for the leaders of the nations and our own government, for the leaders of the church throughout the world, for journalists and teachers, for youth workers and parents, asking that they may exercise their responsibility with justice and compassion, with integrity and truthfulness, with common sense, love and imagination. We ask for a heart with skill to listen. We ask for your true wisdom. All-knowing God, we pray for ourselves as we seek to obey your will for our lives, for the faith that leads to true knowledge in you, for the love that leads to understanding of others, for the sensitivity that leads to helpful actions and words, for the humility that leaves our minds open to new insights, asking that we may serve you and one another with heart and mind and soul, with prayerful words and deeds, with joy and enthusiasm. We ask for open hearts and minds. We ask for your true wisdom. And we pause for a moment to remember the many difficult areas around our world where people are suffering, either through war or through the floods in Kerala, India, in Italy with the tragic accident there. Lord, we pray for all the aid agencies seeking to bring relief, for all those who are seeking to bring your comfort and support. And Lord, we pray for all those who we know to personally be living through very difficult times. We remember those known to us who are unwell at this time, and those here that are caring for them. We ask that your healing hand may be upon each one of them, that they might be aware of your love enfolding them, that they may be granted your peace deep within and be free from fear, knowing that you are with them. Accept all of our prayers, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our offering will be received as we sing our communion hymn, With All My Heart, I thank you, Lord. Gracious God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness and grace and your sacrificial love to us. We thank you that you pour out your blessings into our lives. We ask that you receive our heartfelt gratitude and our desire to serve you and live according to your will through your wisdom and strength. In Jesus' name, Amen. Going to hopefully share in words on the screen. It's my fault if it goes wrong, because I put the wrong thing up. So I invite you to share with me in these responses. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the way in which you have reached out to us across all generations, through the words of the kings, through the words of the wisdom of Solomon, through the words of the prophets. And most importantly, we thank you for the incredible gift of the incarnation, of sending your Son to be with us, body and blood, flesh with us, present to reveal your love, to call us to live according to your ways. We thank you that you continue to send us your Holy Spirit, touching our lives, challenging and inspiring us, drawing us closer to you. We thank you for your goodness and grace and your gift of everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we praise you with these words, saying, Holy, 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 God of vulnerable love, heaven and earth proclaim your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who reveals to us the reality of God. We remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room. He took the bread and blessed it and gave thanks and gave it to each one of them, saying, This is my body given to you. Receive and do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the wine, he blessed it and gave thanks and said, This is the covenant of my love, covenant of my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you gather in remembrance of my name. Gracious God, we ask that you will pour out your Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they might be for us your presence with us, your love with us this day. Amen. So draw near with faith, receive and share in this great gift of love. The stewards will wait upon you. So may you know God's love poured into your lives through the power of his Holy Spirit. May you know the depth of his peace within you and know his arms enfolding you. Go with his strength. Go in his joy. Amen.
Jesus, give me peace.
body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. So may you know the power of God's healing love poured into your lives through the power of his Holy Spirit. May you know his healing and gracious peace within, and may you go with strength and joy, knowing that he is with you always. Amen. Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you with love. The love of Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. Body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. Body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. May you know God's love deep within you. May you know his arms enfolding you. May you be freed from all fear and filled with his peace, and go with joy and confidence in the assurance that he is with you now and always. Amen.
Given for you.
God's healing love, His grace at work within you. May you know His peace deep within and go with joy and the assurance of His presence with you always. Amen. So we share in these words of prayer. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us, may the gentleness of your Spirit lead us, and may the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. We sing our final hymn, God Who Sets Us on a Journey. blessing. I just want to say a welcome to the Manning family. Jenny is our circuit administrator. It's lovely to have you here, Reverend Manning, minister in the Mobley, Alderley Edge, Knutsford circuit. It's lovely to have you with you all the family today. May we go with the blessing of God. May we go with his love, the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.